It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
And Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk Sox and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
From the University of Alabama.
Don't do it, Dante.
And three-time Super Bowl champion.
Don't you dare, Dante. No.
Well, look at all that bling. He just scratched his face.
Shut up.
Fifth pick to the New England Patriots. And with the 45th pick in the 2019 NFL draft, the champs select Juwan Williams, DB, Vanderbilt.
I hate this night. I hate the Juwan Williams pick. I hate that they're trading out again. And so help me God if someone off that stupid draft board gets hit with this next pick. So help me God. Ah, I hate this night. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it.
Well, no one else is going to hit if they keep trading out.
I hated Arcan. That's a good point. If they keep trading out, the big board can't. Good point by you. They can't hit.
Oh, yeah. No, stop doubting it. You can't. Just enough. Stop doubting the big board. From the Town Fair Tire Studio, it is Gasper Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And what you just heard there to open up the show today was the screams of another doubter being vanquished. Our own Adam Jones, the sports vulture, the nighttime nihilist, being crushed once again by the ultimate power of the Felgren Mazz big board, which actually sits to my right here inside the Town Fair Tire Studio here this Saturday morning. Again, for those not paying attention, for the first couple of nights of the draft, night one, pick one, number 32 overall for your New England Patriots, N'Keal Harry, the first wide receiver ever taken by Bill Belichick in the first round. Oh, the Felgren Mazz big board had it. We hit that one last night with their second pick. They trade up. They take Juwan Williams, or as Mike likes to call him, Joe Juwan, cornerback out of Vanderbilt. Two selections. Two picks that the markers hit on the Felgren Mazz big board. So suck it, Jones. And the same goes for all of you who doubt the awesome power of the Felgren Mazz big board. Are you a doubter there, Tim McCone?
No, I'm all in. It's unbelievable. I can't believe it again. Yeah, the first two picks, ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
I was out at dinner with the lady last night. I wasn't really paying attention all that much because, you know, you don't want to have your face on the phone all the time when you're with your lady. They get mad. And then at one point, I did look down because I was like, why do I have like 80 texts? And then I realized, before I even had to read one, I was like, oh, I bet I know why. Yes, it did it again. So suck it, all of you. Outside of that, though, overall for me, I've loved the first couple of nights of the draft for the Patriots because the overwhelming theme thus far has been exactly what I was hoping that they would do. Continue to build around Tom Brady, get Brady some weapons, maybe find a pass rusher, and most importantly, not wasting any of these picks so far on any of these useless stiffs at quarterback. I don't like this quarterback class outside of Kyler Murray, who obviously is undersized. That's been talked about time and again. But there's something there, I feel like, and is worthy of the number one overall pick. But the rest of these guys and Daniel Jones going that high to the New York Giants? You idiots. It's going to be the 2013 quarterback class all over again. That's the one that had... what was his name out of West Virginia that ended up going to the New York Jets? Chris, help me here. Stiff. He went way too high.
Out of West Virginia?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not ringing a bell.
Either way.
I remember the Giants?
No, the New York Jets.
Oh, to the Jets.
What's his name? Yeah, I know exactly.
Not Christian Hackett.
No.
No, you know who I'm thinking about.
Geno Smith.
Geno Smith.
He was one of the highlights or lowlights of that quarterback class. But that 2013 quarterback class, I remember being awful, and that's what this reminds me of. Either way, it's hashtag F the future. Don't waste any of these picks on quarterback. It's about now. Focus on winning that 7th Super Bowl title with Brady while he's still playing at a high level and before he calls it a career. And I know you're not very active on Twitter all that much, Chris. I know it's like, you know how it is. It's like kicking a hornet's nest, even if you just write the word the.
Exactly.
But the kid out of Michigan with the hair that a lot of people are saying is like a Clay Matthews clone, at least in terms of aesthetics, you love this guy.
Yeah, I do. I do love that guy. And I had mentioned him before, Chase Winovich. I just think he's a good fit for them and what he can do as an edge guy. You know, I think he's sort of, I'm not saying he's going to have this type of career, but he's in that Vrabel, Ninkovich type of mold. And he plays like his hair's on fire. So, you know, that was a pretty good Michigan defense. I know the Ohio State fans, they feel not that good, overrated, because they did tear it apart, although they did have a block punt and two interceptions that set them up at the 22 and the 4.
I saw a lot of people tweeting you that final score of that game.
Oh, totally. Year. And then I tweeted back that they were second in the NCAA in total defense last year out of, 125 teams. So that was a really good defense, and I think he was their most consistent and best player. So I really, really liked that pick. That was a guy I had sort of looked at for them. You know, maybe with the pick at 32, that was a guy who sort of was saying, well, if they took this guy, I'd be happy. So to get him where they got him, obviously, I really like that pick. I would say conversely, I hate the Damian Harris pick.
So this is the running back out of Alabama. This is the one that on one hand, I kind of cackled at because that's one that I know has to, Felger's going to come in here Monday and yell about that starting Monday until the start of the season. Another stupid running back. Running backs don't matter. Blah, blah, blah. It's about the future. You need a quarterback. All of that. Get ready for it. So on the one hand, I love that just for the schadenfreude, the pain of others, the misery, rooting for the sports misery in others.
You are a sports sadist.
Because I don't want any quarterbacks here, and I know that between him and Tony, that's all they want. It's about the future. You have to be thinking for the future, blah, 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 all that. But did they need another running back? Like, that did kind of feel like a wasted pick.
Brandon Bolden upgrade. I mean, that's basically what it is. I mean, look, the guy's a good – he's a nice player. Here's the thing. One, I don't think they needed the position because they brought Bolden back. I don't think that – two, I'm concerned that this is one of these, like, Bill showed up at the Alabama Pro Day and was like, that guy looks good. And so that's...
He's like doing Nick Saban a favor type thing?
No, not a favor, but just like Saban raved about the guy. Bill was down there, saw him, worked him out. Like, oh, I like this guy. Value. Because they said, Casario came out and said he was the highest, graded guy on their board at that point. So like, that always makes me a little nervous. Like all the scouts have been following this for years. Even Casario said last night they're already like working on 2020 stuff. So they've been following this. They followed Damian Harris. And I feel like it's one of those ones where Bill gets down there and he's like, oh, I like the cut of this kid's jib. And now they end up drafting him in the third round. They don't need the position. And I think by and large, it's a tough adjustment for a lot of these Alabama running backs. Like Mark Ingram was a Heisman Trophy winner. To me, he was sort of the best of these backs. He's had a nice career. But even when he was in New Orleans, Kamara was the guy that was better and made that go. And now Ingram's in Baltimore. I just think these Alabama guys, they're bigger, badder, tougher, stronger than everybody they play in the NFL. And then their offensive line moves everybody out of the way and they don't get touched till they're 5 yards downfield. Trent Richardson, anybody? Like, I just... Between not needing the position, this player who's not a home run hitter, like if this were like a Kamara type guy, I'd be like, okay, you want a home run hitter. Watching them neuter Sony Michel, which they did. I mean, I watched that kid in college. He was a very creative runner. Here, it's like, he looked like, one of those horses they put the blinders on before a horse race. He just is like north, south to the max, which is what this guy already is. Don't like that pick.
Well,
like the pick at all.
I was watching some of the highlight packages of him just from last night because I didn't know much, really all that much about him. Was the other running back there that, is it Jones? There was another running back out of Alabama that...
Najee Harris?
What was I thinking of?
Josh Jacobs.
Oh,
who went in the first round to Oakland.
Yeah. That was the kid. I was like, okay. Like, that was the running back I really knew from Alabama. This kid, not too much. So I was watching some of the highlight packages, and like you just said... He's not really making people miss from the, like what they're trying to show you is like, this is why you'd want to draft him. It's a lot of just him walking in.
Yeah, because that offensive line has blown everybody off the ball.
Yeah, so that to me is a bit of a head scratcher. So on the one hand, I like it because it'll make dad or my two dads during the week mad because they won't be able to justify, oh, how can you do this? Another running back, bah! It's a useless position. Like, okay, ha ha ha. But on the other hand, like, huh? How about another maybe offensive lineman, maybe a defensive lineman? It's pretty rich at that position this year. Like, that did kind of – that one's a head-scratcher to me.
Can I tell you this too? They'll never admit it, but I wonder, right before him, Houston takes Kahale Waring, who was a tight end I liked out of San Diego State. He only played 1 year of high school football before he got to San Diego State. Was you know, in high school, was like an all-conference water polo player and played basketball. One pick before them, Houston takes that guy. And then they're taking Damian Harris, and then they're saying, well, this was the best player left on our board. I'm wondering if they thought they could get Waring or some sort of tight end there. Honestly, I thought that's where they should have drafted my guy, Will Greer. I was disappointed that they didn't. And then Greer obviously went one pick before their next pick, but it seems like they really weren't inclined to take him. You know, Will Greer might have been this year's Kyle Laletta. You know, a lot of smoke around the guy, but at the end of the day, they were never really that interested in him.
Well, it was the same with Lamar Jackson, too. You know, there was some interest there. They worked him out last year, and ultimately they don't end up drafting him. Is the Juwan Williams pick a little bit of a head-scratcher? Because if you look at that secondary, and you know, they have Gilmore, Jason McCourty's back, J.C. Jackson, where's this kid fit?
Yeah, so that's another one where I'm not as out on that as Harris, because he does have a unique skill set, and he was a very good player at Vanderbilt. But again, you know, it's another second-round corner. Duke Dawson can play safety. He played a little bit of safety his freshman year at Florida. This could potentially, you know, play some safety. But I don't want to get anybody upset, or, you know, I don't want you to freak out here, Jim, but I feel like there could be a little like Razi Dowling with this Juwan Williams kid, in the sense that the Patriots are enamored of the physical traits of the player, and they might be weighing that more than the actual player. And look, I think he'll be better. I'm not saying he's going to be Razi Dowling. That guy couldn't stay on the field. But I think it's one of those things where maybe they're sort of overrating this guy just a little bit based on these physical traits that they've fallen in love with. And they moved up 11 picks to get him, so they must really like him. But it's not really a position of need. And he's a cool, like, matchup piece. Like, I get that. But to me, I look at it and I'm like, oh, this is like an Obi Melifonwu who can actually play. Like, it's like, this guy's big, he's fast, he's going to be able to match up with these people. It's that sort of like chess piece. You know, when Browner was here, Browner. So I think this is like a Melifonwu or a Brandon Browner that can actually, you know, play, isn't going to commit like a million penalties. So I see the value. Like, I think the guy will be a solid player. I just don't know if that's the guy you want to take in the second round at 45.
Well, his immediate press conference that he did over the phone certainly sounds like a confident young man, so I like that. So we'll get to some of that sound and touch on some of the other picks from last night. But overall, my biggest takeaway thus far in the first couple of nights is do not doubt the awesome power of the Felgren Maz big board.
Poor Adam Jones.
First two picks, the big board got him. Going back to their first pick, 32 overall, this N'Keal Harry.
Yeah.
I mean, they obviously needed help at wide receiver. Yeah. Belichick's never taken one in the first round since he's been here.
Yep.
Do you like the kid, what you know about him? Do you think he could be a good fit?
Yeah, I like him. I mean, of the wide receiver group, he's one of the guys that I like the most. I liked him. I liked A.J. Brown. So I think when you look at it, the fact that he makes contested catches, he has good hands. He was a real playmaker at Arizona State. It's a little different. I feel like for a rookie guy with his size and his ability to pluck the football, even if at the beginning all he can do is catch like back shoulder throws and slants, you know, basically the baby food of the offense that they feed to almost any receiver that comes in here, whether it's Michael Floyd or Kenny Britt, even veteran guys, I think he should be able to do that. The only thing that gives me some pause is it's great that they picked a wide receiver. Brady needed the help. I like that. They're finally doing it. The guy's going to be 42 years old. It's just, I would love to know, because Bill has always said this, you know, when you're grading these guys, it's not just grading them against their peers in this draft. It's against the last couple of drafts. So would they have said N'Keal Harry was a first round wide receiver in the draft, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, in like the Mike Evans draft? You know what I mean? Or is this just sort of like they need something and they're saying, okay, you know, we're going to go with this guy? Because of all the years to take a wide receiver in the first round, I think this was one of the ones where you could look at it and say, okay, this is a year you don't do that. Because this class it has depth to it, but in terms of high-end talent, it's a little light there. It's lacking that a little bit.
All right, your thoughts on the draft over the first couple of nights here and the selections made by the Patriots. Want to hear from you on this at 617-779-0985. Again, bit of a head-scratcher, though, with the Williams pick, right? It's Damian Williams, the running back?
Damian Harris,
the running back out of Alabama. Like, another running back like that? That's one that it's like, huh? But on the other hand, Felgren Maz will be mad about it, so I enjoy that. And it's not a quarterback. Again, hashtag F the future. So let's hear from you on the 617-779-0985. And did they maybe make a mistake, though, when it comes to quarterbacks for not trading for Josh Rosen, considering what he went for? We'll get to that coming up in this hour. That'll be football heavy here on Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
With the 77th pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, your six-time
Super Bowl champion, New England Patriots select Chase Winovich, DN, Michigan.
Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports, began with the 77th pick in the NFL draft. The Patriots taking defensive lineman Chase Winovich out of Michigan. If you weren't listening to the first segment, or maybe you haven't seen him on Twitter, you don't tweet all that much. And I understand why. You know, again, you write the word "the." It'll piss people off on Twitter. It's like kicking a hornet's nest. But you loved this pick. You took to Twitter last night to say just that, Chris. In terms of some of the stuff, like, I didn't really know all that much about him, but just some of the clips and, you know, what people have written about this kid. He seems like a bit of a character, and almost like Gronk-esque. Even Rich Eisen last night on the broadcast on NFL Network was saying, like, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but it's like, well, they're without Rob Gronkowski, but they're bringing in almost, in terms of personality, like a clone into the locker room.
He said first team all parade.
Yeah.
And there's a connection there, obviously, because Rich Eisen went to Michigan, and this is a Michigan kid. So he's not just saying, like, oh, you know, this kid, like, has long hair, so he must be crazy. It's like, no, Rich Eisen knows about this kid's personality.
Yeah, and he once ate a live fish because he was a big Bear Grylls fan, apparently, and, you know, someone paid him $20 to do it, so said $20 was a lot of money to me back then. Like, you know, he's like your typical college bro football type.
Oh, totally. But dated Madonna's daughter.
Oh, right, that's right, Lourdes.
Yep.
Yeah, who is also enrolled at Michigan, so there's a little bit of a story there. But in terms of the talent on the field, I don't know, like, you tell me some of the stuff I read about this kid, the high motor, the ability to get to the quarterback, that's all real?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he ran the 40 under 4.6. He, you know, he can come off the edge and get to the quarterback. A lot of pressures for him. He's a guy, like I said, who can get there. Good against the run, too. He just sort of fits in that, like, Vrabel, Ninkovich sort of mold. And with, like, a guy like Trey Flowers not here anymore, they have to figure out what they're going to do in terms of trying to find a way to boost that pass rush, even if Flowers had stayed. You know, Michael Bennett's a great move they made this offseason. Love that trade. Dietrich Wise, I think, is a guy who's been productive when called upon. We'll see what Derek Rivers does as well. But they needed to get a pass rusher. That was something that was up there for me in terms of a need. And I think this kid can fit the bill. I really like this kid. That Michigan defense had a lot of talent, and they were number two in the country in total defense. Again, I know Ohio State tore them apart, but that was a very talented defense, and this kid, I think, was their best player, their most consistent player. You know, Rashawn Gary, I think, was their most talented player, but their most consistently impactful player was this kid.
Let's go to Fred in Norwood. You're first up here on Gasper Murray this morning.
Hey, guys. Just a two-parter here. Well, actually, real quick, too. I think this kid from Vanderbilt, if he could take over for Chung when Chung usually has to cover the tight ends, that could be great, because Chung was good at it, but I would appreciate an upgrade at that position. But my real question is, what do you think the chances are on Minnesota moving on from Kyle Rudolph and the Pats being in on it now that they got Irv Smith? And do you think if they were, it would be a good move?
Fred, I'm glad you brought this up, because obviously, I mean, I think it goes without saying, one of the more pressing needs for the Patriots in the draft is tight end, which they haven't addressed just yet. Maybe they do it through rounds 4 and 7 over the weekend here, but they don't get Irv Smith. Irv Smith ends up going to the Minnesota Vikings, as the caller just said. So now Kyle Rudolph could be available. Your boy Bert Breer from the MMQB reporting last night that the Vikings could look to trade Kyle Rudolph, and the Patriots would likely be suitors if they did. He writes, I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest if the Patriots inquired on Rudolph over the next 48 hours if they don't wind up taking a tight end high. The Vikings do, so obviously they didn't. I don't know. Kyle Rudolph, decent enough pro, 29 years old, given consistent enough production. He's played 8 years. Last year, looking at some of the totals, 634 yards, 4 touchdowns, and that's in a, you know, passing offense that's got Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. I would be into it for, like, I don't know, a 4th-round pick or maybe even a 3rd next year. That would address one of the needs there.
Yeah,
you need,
I mean,
something beyond Austin Seferian Jenkins at that position.
Yeah, I mean, for Rudolph, I would give up a 3rd-round pick for him, because the way you sell it to the Vikings, he's in the last year of his deal. He makes a little more than $7 million. And so you sell it to the Vikings basically, okay, we'll give you like a 2023rd. You would, if he left, you at best would get a compensatory 3rd in 2021. So now you get the pick a year early. You know, he's a good player, a good tight end. Rent him for a year, see if he's somebody you want to keep, and go from there. And the Patriots picked up an extra 2023rd in all their draft maneuvering. They picked one up from Chicago. So I would be interested in bringing Rudolph in here. I think he's a guy who could pop if he could stay on the field here in New England.
Damian Harris, the running back out of Alabama, that's so far one of the head scratchers. You don't like it. Dave in New York feels like I think he is thinks the opposite of you, Chris. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey guys, it's more about the position almost than the player. I did think that was the between the tackles kind of backup for Michelle was a sneaky need. Don't forget they had a couple of games where Patterson was actually playing running back, so I think they did need somebody to back up Michelle. He's got the bad knees, and they didn't really have a guy behind him who can play that style.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point, although they brought back Brandon Bolden, right? So isn't that what he's supposed to be for? And then there are running backs like
Rex Burkhead.
You know, Alex Barnes of Kansas State, the kid from Temple, Rykel Armstead. There are some bigger backs later in this draft that you could take a flyer on if you just need someone to be a bowl. Like, to just get a bowling ball, goal line, upgrade Brandon Bolden back in the third round. I mean, to me, if you're taking a guy in the like Stephen Ridley was a guy they took in the third round, and he had a, you know, 1,200-yard rushing season. Like, that's what you expect. Alvin Kamara was a third-round pick. Like, third-round pick running backs are guys who are supposed to play and supposed to be productive. It's not like, hey, just be this, you know, situational, just be like a James Devlin upgrade at the goal line. I mean, you don't use a third-round pick for that.
Yeah, again, this is the one that's a bit of a head-scratcher.
Unless they're worried about, I mean, this point, unless they're worried about Michelle's durability and his
that quick
his
after
knees.
1 year, like, well, that's, well, you know, that's a bit of a concern.
Malcolm Mitchell, the Georgia thing, maybe they turn a blind eye to these, you know, Georgia guys with some injury history.
And then, again, you know, I mentioned Rex Burkhead, some of these guys, other guys on the roster. It just didn't feel like that was an immediate need, especially when you still got to fill tight end, maybe bring in another offensive lineman. Although they bring in this, was it Yodney Kajust?
Yeah, Yodney Kajust. I like that pick, too.
Yeah.
I think that's a good pick. Yeah, that was one of the guys that I had sort of looked at from an offensive line standpoint. He played some basketball, came from a good offense at West Virginia where they threw the ball a lot. I don't know what they think of him. You basically, the people last night were saying swing tackle or maybe a right tackle. But if they think that a guy like Isaiah Wynn can play left tackle, then they might think that Kajus could play it too if needed.
All right, Tim McCone is with us as well. He's going to get you caught up here in the Sports Hub headlines. We have the Sports Hub Celtics show caught up in 30 minutes. We'll be all over game one of the Celtics and Milwaukee Bucks series. The tips off tomorrow afternoon in Milwaukee. But in the meantime, we're going to be Patriots and NFL heavy as we are you know, knuckle deep in the NFL draft in Nashville, Tennessee. By the way, just as an aside, that thing seems like such a cluster down there. You were bringing it up too, McCone. Like, if you've been down there before and you've been on that, like, you know, that Broadway there, it's already too many people to begin with. This, every time they flash by, I'm like, oh, that looks like an absolute nightmare to be down there right now. Either way, McCone's going to get you caught up with the latest. Who the Patriots selected last night, all that, and we'll be back with your calls and your thoughts on some of these picks thus far. 617-779-0985.
Gasper and Murr. 98.5. The Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
With the 87th pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Damian Harris, running back, Alabama.
This is Damian Harris who breaks free. Damian Harris barreling down inside the 25. First huge play from the tied run game tonight.
All right, so this is the one that, honestly, just in the first 38 minutes of this show, the more I think about it, the more I actually kind of don't like it, Chris. It's Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. So with the 87th pick in the NFL draft, the Patriots select Alabama running back Damian Harris last night. And as of today, what is it? They now have five running backs on the depth chart, and, you know, that won't stay the same. And maybe someone like Rex Burkhead will be out by the time the season starts. But this one, I don't know. Like, you read a bit about this guy, and it just sounds like he'd be a short yardage running back. You read that he's a good pass blocker, fine. But you just drafted Sony Michel in the first round last year. You read that he lacks the burst to be a real bell cow runner. So, like, what the hell are they doing with this pick? Especially when you maybe need a tight end.
I don't know. I mean, again, to me, it's max of one of those ones where, you know, Bill talked to Saban, and Saban raved about the kid, probably his intangibles, and the fact that I guarantee, and I haven't seen this, I'll have to look it up, but I guarantee this is one of those running backs where it's like he didn't have a single, like, negative run, like, in his 4 years. McCone's laughing and shaking his head because the Patriots love that. Like, they hate anybody that is going to try and, like,
take negative yardage.
Yeah, to try and bust a big play. So he probably didn't have, like, a single negative play. Saban raved about him. He's big. He's physical. He's I mean, he was a really good player at Alabama. Like, when he came out, out of Kentucky, where he went to high school, he was the number one running back in the country. Like, the kid has talent. But in the third round, like a Brandon Bolden upgrade, Brandon Bolden plus in the third round? No. No. I'm sorry.
Let's go to Reed, who wants to talk about their first pick, wide receiver N'Keal Harry out of Arizona State. Hey, Reed.
Hi, folks.
Go ahead.
So I was wondering, given the body structure of N'Keal Harry, given that he's a big, strong wide receiver who can really block, I was wondering if maybe Belichick drafted him in part to be like a hybrid replacement for Gronk.
Well, one of the things I read about Harry that I didn't like, Chris, is that 10 red zone targets last year, he had one touchdown. So if you're looking for him to be a replacement for Rob Gronkowski at his best and not Gronk of last year, at least in the regular season, doesn't feel like, at least on paper, that that's what he's going to come in here and do. He's got the size, but one of the things that's been a knock on him is the separation. One of the things I thought of, one of the reasons they took this kid in terms of his size and one of his better abilities, and even just watching some highlights, is he's got good ups. You know, he can beat you to the ball and get high.
Yep, he'll high point it.
They changed this rule with the pass interference, right? Or you can now challenge the pass interference. Like, it seems to me this would be a guy that if he can, you know, get up and beat you at the point of attack and grab the ball, if some of these are going to be contested and some other coaches are going to now throw the flag on that, or it's going to be challenged within the 2 minutes by the league, well, I don't know. If he can get up and get it and it's a little bit inconclusive, it's almost like tie goes to the runner, right? The kid makes the catch. Like, I don't know. Bill's always thinking two steps ahead. He's always, you know, really paying attention to these rule changes, and it seemed like he's one of these guys that wanted this anyway, so why not get a big, tall, wide receiver who can get up and get it, especially when you can now maybe benefit a little bit with this rule change and now that these can be challenged.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of that. You know, on the flip side of it, though, I would say because he does make a lot of contested catches and he is very physical and he will be a rookie, he might not get those calls, and it might it might go the other way. He might get called for, like, offensive pass interference. I like him as a player. I mean, he was a guy at Arizona State, and we'll see if it translates, but, like, it translates. He was their money guy, though. He was a guy who, like, when the game was on the line, that guy wanted the ball, and he wanted to make a difference for his team. And so I like that type of player. He certainly has the right mentality. Let's see if he can get on the same page with Brady.
Howard in Randolph, you're next here on Gasper and Murray. Hello, Howard.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Staying on the subject of the 32nd pick, would they have been better off taking that tight end from Alabama and then waiting? Maybe this guy would have been in the second round for him.
Harry? You're saying Harry would have been in the second round, you think?
I don't know. But I mean, there seems to be enough wide receivers this year. It was a deep draft. But I thought that tight end was the third best tight end after the two Iowa guys.
Yeah, it would be interesting to sort of see how they felt about Irv Smith when it all came down to it. But the reality is, I think when you look at some of the other teams like Seattle who had an interest in drafting a wide receiver, I'm not convinced in any way, shape, or form that N'Keal Harry was going to be there. And my one thing with the Patriots covering the draft over the years, the one thing that has annoyed me at times when they've done this is when they sort of say, okay, here are five players. They're all the same. We're at 32. If we get any of them, we'll be happy. Let's move back. We'll get one of these five. Because there's no way. I mean, there's no way five guys are all going to have identical NFL careers. You know, one guy's going to be a Pro Bowler. One guy's going to be a bust. One guy's going to be a solid starter. Another guy's going to be, you know, mostly a special teamer. So the fact that they had the conviction to say, this is our guy, we know we could trade out and get more, but we want this guy, that gives me some confidence in the pick.
And on Irv Smith, I liked him, even though he didn't have all that great of a championship game, but, like, good pass-catching tight end. And the knock on him is he's a little small, 6'2", and if you look at some of the tight ends, especially someone like Gronk that the Patriots have had before, and even when they brought in stiffs like Chandler, Scott Chandler a few years back, they like their tight ends big, you know? Feels like they want, like, 6'4 and higher. Irv Smith just wasn't going to cut it there, so I wasn't all that surprised that they didn't select him, even though you look at a lot of these mocks and some of the prognosticators said, like, oh, no, 32, that's where they're going to take. No, instead, it's a wide receiver from Arizona State, N'Keal Harry, also a selection made by the Felger and Mavs big board. And more than anything else, in case you missed it at the top of the hour, this is my big takeaway.
Yeah.
Pick number one, Patriots, N'Keal Harry. Also on the big board. Last night, their pick in the second round, Juwan Williams out of Vanderbilt, also on the Felger and Mavs big board. Don't doubt the power of the Felger and Mavs big board, Jones. You can keep yelling about it all you want. It's just going to keep... Don't mock it. You're going to make it angry. There's more picks coming. I feel it in my bones.
You think so?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Jones like screaming into the wind. We talked about this off the air, and I want to bring it on the air. You do realize why, and I'm a big board supporter. I get a real kick out of it. Yeah. But you do realize why, for people like me and Jones, the big board could be highly aggravating. Because you have
you've got a lot of sweat equity.
Yeah, there's a lot of sweat equity that people like myself and Jones put into watching college football all year long and trying to be educated in the draft. And here comes, you know, Michael Felger, sort of, you know, golden retriever like, holding the board, talking about DJ Metcalf when it's DK, and then basically getting the picks right. And it's like, well, what am I watching all these games for? If some guy that's saying DJ Metcalf has as good a chance as I do of predicting who the Patriots are going to draft, that's what it is. And that's what it is for Jones. It's personal. He's personally invested in this to know what's going on. Felger has not. And it's like you get the same thing. It would be like if Jones or I, and Jones knows a lot more about hockey than I do, but if like I was going up to Felger and predicting correctly the Stanley Cup winner every year by throwing markers at a board, and he's investing all this time on, you know, is Joakim Nordstrom on the right line? Like, I think he'd be a little annoyed by that. And that's sort of where the big board, I think I can feel, I understand where Jones is coming from. Personally, I support the board. I love it. I think it's hilarious. But I can understand where somebody like Jones would be peeved at the board.
Oh, it really bothers Jones. And that's maybe one of the best things about the big board. Your continued thoughts if you want to weigh in on the Patriots draft thus far. Again, Damian Harris, the more I think about it, I don't know. I really like it. A running back in the third round where they really didn't need one.
Is he how much would it take? First of all, he didn't really fumble at Alabama, which I know they also love. Don't fumble. Don't make negative plays. You know, we don't care if you can rip off Barry Sanders' runs. Just get like 3.5 yards here and don't fumble and we're good. But is he, what would it take for Damian Harris to be on your all get the F off my team?
Oh, you know, a brutal fumble, like a Cyrus Jones type of play. You know, a brutal fumble.
Another Alabama guy.
Yeah, brutal fumble at the worst
possible
time. Came highly
recommended.
Right. Yeah. So there's some concerns there. Yeah. Just cost him a game, or you know, turn the tide of a play. No pun intended. What with the tide and all. It doesn't take much for me to yell at a player, get the F off my team. But for now, I like it because, you know, more than anything else, it's not a quarterback. Did they miss out on trading for one, though? Because Josh Rosen essentially went for next to nothing, as he officially did get moved last night to the Miami Dolphins. I do want to touch on that and get your thoughts on that. And more of your calls on last night's round two of the NFL draft as it continues in Nashville, Tennessee throughout the weekend. 617-779-0985. Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
He was always a guy that's had a ton of talent. He's a smart guy, like everyone knows. He's got arm talent. He can throw it. I think what everyone always liked about him was how cerebral he was as well. So, again, it's a young, talented guy at a premium position in this league.
I don't know that it wasn't that he didn't work out. I would say, obviously, he was put in a tough situation last year. But I think, really, when you come down to the bottom line is we had an opportunity to find a dynamic player that we think can be special.
So that was Dolphins general manager Chris Greer, followed by Arizona Cardinals general manager Steve Keim, who resembles a beaver. Google him, trust me on that. I think you've put up that on Twitter before. I asked you to do that.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it's his dad was a beaver. It's fact. But they're talking about the trade last night of Josh Rosen. Dolphins trade for Josh Rosen with the Cardinals for a second-round pick, 62 overall. 62! Kind of crazy that's all he went for, considering he was the number 10 pick overall last year. There was talk about him even going to the top three at one point, as everyone is horny for the white whale, the great next quarterback in the NFL. And obviously he was not that in Arizona, as they end up taking Kyler Murray number one overall on Thursday. So considering what he went for, Chris, 62 overall, and there was obviously a lot of upside, at least in terms of value, I don't know, did the Patriots swing and miss here? Should they have been in on Josh Rosen?
Well, it is interesting that he ends up in your division, right? So that's sort of interesting when you factor it in. For what you would have had to give up, let's say you give up 64, right, and something in the future, why not? I mean, why not take a flyer on somebody like Josh Rosen, who was a top 10 pick? Unless they didn't like Josh Rosen coming out, which is possible, because the word on Josh Rosen last year as he came out was that he rubbed a lot of people in the league the wrong way, that he almost had this sort of like Aaron Rodgers-like arrogance to him, and that he was not sort of willing to take coaching when he was confronted with film that showed him maybe not making the right play or not making the right decision. It didn't feel like to a lot of NFL people that he owned it. That's what you heard On the other hand, I'll be honest with you, knowing the NFL and having covered it as long as I have, any sort of sign of a player that might be smarter than a coach or that could challenge a coach on an intelligence level, they're like, that's a bad guy, yeah, not a team player. So, you know, I don't know where the Patriots stood on Rosen. I liked him a lot coming out of college. I think he's really talented. His offensive line was terrible at UCLA. I think
it was terrible with the Cardinals last year. He was put in a bad situation.
Kid didn't have a chance.
Outside of Larry Fitzgerald, he had no weapons.
I agree.
A coach that was fired after 1 year, yep, Steve Wilkes, like he never was really given a chance. I think people forget he wasn't the starter last year. It was supposed to be Sam Bradford, and then Sam Bradford turned into Sam Bradford. So they threw the kid right into the fire.
No, you're totally right. I totally agree with you. And you know what I think is interesting about it, Jim? Just if you're the Cardinals, right? So you're giving up on Rosen, you moved up to get him, whatever. But now you're all in on Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, two guys with really short track records, two guys who are sort of the du jour prototype at their positions in the NFL in terms of coach and quarterback right now. But still, the track records are short. Kingsbury losing record at Texas Tech. Kyler Murray was a starter for 1 year at Oklahoma. You're all in on that now. You've turned the whole thing over. And you can tell listening to Keim, I don't think he really wanted to move on from Rosen. It was all about Kingsbury saying, this is the guy I want. It's Kyler Murray.
Yeah. Well, you couldn't keep the both of them, too. I mean, Rosen ended up unfollowing the Cardinals on both Instagram and Twitter. And as anybody knows, living in 2019, Chris, that's the end of a relationship when you stop following on social media. And at the risk of contradicting myself, like, I would have been into this because of the value and the upside. And again, I think he was put in a terrible situation last year, and Rosen was a top 10 pick for a reason last year. So if you could have got him for 64, like, why the hell not? Take a flyer. I just didn't want them drafting any of these stiffs this year because I'm...
You're down in this class.
Yeah, I think it's a lot like 2013. I said it earlier. Geno Smith, EJ Manuel, Mike Glennon, like stiff after stiff after stiff that went way, way too high. And maybe it'll be proven wrong. Like, who the hell knows? It's why we have the Felgren Mavs big board. You throw a marker, it gets it right more often than not than the actual, you know, quote-unquote, the experts. But I don't like it. I don't want them wasting a pick. To me, wasting a pick on a quarterback when you still got to continue to build around Brady. But I don't know. The Rosen thing, the 62nd pick is what he had?
Yeah, 62. And they had a sweetener.
And I actually kind of like what they ended up using that on. They ended up taking Andy Isabella, the wide receiver out of UMass that everyone around here was horny for, would maybe be a good fit for the Patriots. That's a good weapon for Murray, but... Man, for them to move on that quick, it's kind of crazy. You typically don't see that
well, draft. I mean, to me, it sort of speaks to the fact that, like, I don't think Steve Keim really has a lot of power there. I think that Kingsbury is a guy who has the power. He obviously wowed the Cardinals. They brought him in. You know, offensive. I just think it's so interesting that they're all in on whatever Kingsbury wants to do. And look, he might prove to be right. He might prove to be one of these Sean McVay genius-type guys. But before the Cardinals came calling for him, do you know what he was going to be doing this fall?
Steve Keim?
No, Cliff Kingsbury. Before the Cardinals came calling for him to be the head coach, do you know what his plans were?
Spend a lot of time with his hot girlfriend?
Oh, yeah, that would be good. No, he was going to be the offensive coordinator at USC.
Oh.
So a guy that was going to be the offensive coordinator at USC, you're now saying, like, we turn basically over everything. Like, you are the final decision maker. We'll do whatever you want to do. That's a big risk by the Cardinals. There's no question about it.
Who's that girlfriend of his again?
Isn't she like a golf?
Is it not Holly Saunders?
I think it is Holly Saunders.
And it is Holly Saunders.
It's Holly Saunders. She used to be a golf person, right?
Yeah. Oh man, I was hoping for. I really had a joke ready to go too. Like, what was Steve Keim ready to do this offseason? Build dams, of course. Again, he looks
like a beaver,
just like a beaver. I mean, look it up. Okay, so before we get to the Sports Hub Celtics show, quickly, you did write a column that, you know, because with everything going on with the Bruins playoffs, Celtics playoffs starting, the NFL draft, you wrote a column this week. I thought was excellent in the Boston Globe. Martellus Bennett was back in town promoting a book. It's why he retired, because he has his imagination agency. For those that might have skipped it. That didn't get a chance to read it. Just talk quickly about why he was back in town, this book, and a little bit about your time.
Yeah, so he has this book, you know, Dear Black Boy, and it's based off a letter he wrote for the Players Tribune, you know, after the shooting deaths of Philando Castile and Alton Sterling. And essentially the message of the book is that, hey, you know, you can be more than an athlete. There's more than one way for you as a black male in America to be successful. Don't let society box you into thinking this is all you can do. And he gave a presentation of the book at the Museum of African American History, which is in Beacon Hill, on Wednesday, to some students from two Hyde Park schools. And it was pretty powerful. And I think it's a pretty powerful message coming from a guy like Martellus Bennett, who was a Pro Bowler, who won a Super Bowl here with the Patriots. And, you know, his whole message was basically like, yeah, you know, I achieved what I wanted to achieve in sports, but that doesn't define me. And I have a lot of other interests, and there are other things that I'm interested in. And you should be interested in other things, too, because you can do them. And what was really powerful to me was when I spoke with him afterwards and I said, hey, you know, what would you hope that, you know, some, you know, black boy who reads this book gets out of the book? And he was saying, you know, he would hope that someday there's somebody up there accepting an award for something, whether it's, you know, a movie or it's a film or it's some sort of award from a medical association, who says, you know, I read this book by Martellus Bennett and it made me realize that I could do great things. And so I think it's a really powerful message from Bennett. I think it's really cool to see an athlete use his platform for that. And I know during Bennett's career, he sort of had like a, you know, a reputation of in the NFL as being a guy who, for whatever reason, teams had a difficult time with. And I think a lot of that was because he refused to be boxed in to this idea of, I'm just a football player.
Shut up and play.
Yeah, shut up and play. And football should be the only thing in my life that's important to me. So I applaud Martellus Bennett. And it was the way he related to the kids, it was pretty cool just to be there. Like,
so there were kids there.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
And do you think that the message hit home?
I think it did. Yeah. It did. I definitely think that his message, you know, hit home with these. I mean, it was middle school, high school age kids.
Because that's my, like, one of the things I find interesting about it is I would think, what the hell do I know? I'm a middle-aged white guy. But
you're woke. You're good.
But for, like, I would think it has a better opportunity for this message and this book to hit home for a young black boy, like the book is called, because of the, I guess, for lack of a better term, like a cool factor coming from a pro athlete
and
who
Martellus
won a championship.
Knows that. Yeah, and Martellus knows that. He said that. He's, you know, he's like, you know, I am these kids, you know. And he even said to me, he's like, you know, I still feel like I'm that black boy. Like, I'm inspiring myself to try things and do things. And he's, you know, an app creator, an animator, an author. He has a million, you know, different interests, a myriad of interests. And so, he admitted that. He said, you know, yeah, you're like, you know, I can, you know, speak their language. I'm into some of the things. Like, I can tell you being there, you know, like, eyes lit up when he's like, yeah, you know, so I recorded this song with Snoop Dogg. It's like, okay. They're like, okay. Like, all right. My man's
he's
legit.
Got cred.
Like, yeah. My man has cred. Some street cred and he's legit. And so, you know, he knows that he has that platform and that ability to maybe broaden horizons where other people would get tuned out.
I always liked him. I liked, and when I had read that why he was stepping away was to more, you know, to focus more on projects like this and his imagination. Like, good. Like, go.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't put your body at risk by continuing to play. You got your ring.
Yeah.
You had success. Get the hell out of
Two
it.
Two quick things. I'll say one, along those lines. One, he said, you know, I didn't let football use me. I use football, and now I own this imagination agency. And he said, you know, the NFL is still calling him, which I took as the Patriots.
Right.
And the other thing that was interesting was you'd think a guy like that would have a hard time with the Patriots. He said it was great. He said that they were very open to who he was. They let him be himself, unlike some other places he had played. And he said, like, Belichick showed his animated his animated film, like, at the family day for the team, and guys would ask him, what are you drawing and what are you writing? So it's interesting. We think of the Patriots one way.
All buttoned up.
But they fully accepted Bennett for you know, who he is, according to Bennett, which is pretty cool.
All right. With that, let's get to Tim McCone with the Sports Hub headlines and then right into the Sports Hub Celtics show as we get ready for game one of what I think is going to be a long knockdown, drag out type of series between the Celtics and Milwaukee Bucks. A series, by the way, I had an epiphany about this morning.
Oh.
We'll get to that as we tip off the Sports Hub Celtics show right after the headlines here with McCone. It's 98.5 of Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
We'll be right back.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.